This podcast of The Exchange is sponsored by
Doucette Survey, serving your professional land surveying and mapping needs in New England, now with offices in New Hampshire and Maine. Information at doucetsurvey.com. That's doucetsurvey.com.
And Northeast Credit Union, helping their members save money through free checking accounts and refinancing of auto, home, and personal loans. Northeast Credit Union, encouraging you to discover the difference at necu.org. Federally insured by NCUA, equal housing opportunity.
And Dartmouth Hitchcock, creating a new model for healthcare where leading health systems collaborate to improve care for all of us. A sustainable system improving the health of our communities for years to come. Information at imagine.d-h.org. Enjoy the show.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. This week, the New Hampshire Senate votes on a bill that seeks middle ground on an issue where it's been almost impossible to find: workers' compensation. This is the system that establishes how much workers receive if they suffer job-related injuries, both in terms of medical care and a portion of their salaries while they're recovering. Every state has its own arrangement, but compared to other states, New Hampshire's workers' comp medical costs are among the highest. For decades, lawmakers and others have tried to address this, but the issue's proven just too difficult. Groups representing businesses, workers, and health providers can't seem to agree on what's a reasonable amount for injured employees, for the doctors who treat them, and how much businesses and insurers should have to kick in. This year, a state House workers' compensation bill appears stalled, while a Senate proposal did make it out of committee last week, but no one's predicting what will happen on the Senate floor. Today in The Exchange, we dive into the world of workers' comp, and let's hear from you. Give us a call, the Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. We have three guests in studio. Pete McNamara is here, president of the New Hampshire Auto Dealers Association. He served on the governor's Workers' Compensation Commission. And Pete, good to see you. Thank you for your time.
Nice to see you too. Thank you.
Also with us, Dr. Gary Woods, retired surgeon, past president of the New Hampshire Medical Society, and former chair of the New Hampshire Workers' Compensation Advisory Council. And Dr. Woods, welcome back, and thanks for being here as well.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And also with us, Bob Sanders, reporter for the New Hampshire Business Review. He's been covering this issue very closely. And Bob, thanks for your time.
Great to be here.
Well, Bob, I do want to start with you. Now, for the uninitiated, workers' comp seems not that compelling an issue, seems very detailed. Why is this important to the state overall, Bob, even for those who will probably never be injured on the job or have to pay out a workers' comp claim?
Well, it's important to a number of groups. For businesses, it varies, but for some businesses, it's probably the second biggest cost after labor, depending on how dangerous the occupation is, particularly in the construction industry. For workers, I just looked up the stats, there are about 600,000 reported worker injuries a year.
In
New Hampshire.
Wow, that's a lot. That's a small state.
Right. And about 100,000, a lot of people get hurt on the job. And about 100,000 are collecting benefits because they can't work, roughly during a year. And we're talking about $10 million that businesses pay and is claimed out to the medical profession. So that's kind of just the size of it. But it's become a hot issue in the last couple of years. I'd say probably one of the biggest labor issues in the state. And it's an issue for medical professions because there's a lot that the livelihood depends on workers' comp. And it's, as I said, a big issue for businesses who formed a whole big coalition. And there is a bill right now before which you mentioned. It's, last I heard, it didn't get out of Senate committee. It's still stuck there. And it was basically trying to be, but I don't think successfully, a compromise, trying to set a middle ground between fee schedules. In other words, doctors will be told how much they can charge in workers' comp.
Well, we'll definitely get into that compromise in a minute. But I'm interested in what you said, Bob, that, you know, the idea that after salaries, workers' compensation is the biggest cost that businesses have to pay?
It depends on the business.
Sure.
For some businesses, definitely.
So it's a huge concern.
Yeah, the premiums go up and down depending on how dangerous and how many injuries they've had before. But yes, it is huge. It's based on the dollar. It's a lot of times it exceeds a lot of small businesses. They don't have to pay and don't pay health care costs, so they don't have health insurance, and it's definitely more than unemployment comp or even taxes, other payroll taxes. So it's a chunk.
Well, it's interesting. We hear all the time about business taxes, but not so much about this. So Pete McNamara, again, we'll get into the details in just a moment, but what's this fundamentally all about for business owners like the auto dealers that you represent?
Sure. It's a great question. I mean, Bob mentioned about the biggest costs, and I think that's pretty accurate. And so when you think about it as just Joe consumer out there, when you go to the store, when you go to buy some goods, all the costs that businesses face, it's going to be represented in a price ultimately that you pay. So if there's high workers' comp medical costs, which there are in the state of New Hampshire, it's going to be reflected in when you go to the store to buy something. And I think, you know, on a day-to-day issue, consumers need to be aware of that. And also, if we want to grow the state, the businesses here in the state, we need to lower some of the burdens on them. We hear about taxes. We hear about energy costs. Workers' comp costs are up there. We're the 12th highest in the nation. We got medical costs that are 2 to 5 times higher than general health care costs. We're the highest in the region, among the highest in the nation. And something really needs to change if we want to bring businesses into the state, if we want to keep businesses here in the state, and ultimately if we want to help consumers with their paycheck.
So this is an economic development issue for you, Pete.
Absolutely.
Well, it's interesting, too, and Bob touched on this. We do hear so much about businesses struggling with high energy costs, business struggling with, you know, taxes, and obviously that's been an issue of debate. But we don't hear as much about this as a big business cost, and yet Bob's telling us it's big for some businesses.
It's definitely very big, especially if you have a dangerous profession. Your workers' comp costs are going to be very high. But right now, you know, according to New Hampshire Department of Insurance, medical costs for the same injury at work versus at home, medical costs are 2 to 5 times higher. So take rotator cuff tear, $10,000 if done on a job, $2,000 if done at home. And that just makes no sense whatsoever. And ultimately, when a consumer goes to the store to buy some groceries or get some gas or even buy a car, the prices are going to be higher because they're paying, you know, 5 times more than they should for those injuries.
Dr. Woods, what do you think? What is really at stake here as we keep looking at this workers' compensation system? And as I alluded to in the opening, this has been a long debate that has been very hard to settle.
Well, a couple of things. I view the workers' compensation as a medical board. And I used to get some eyes rolled when I would try to remind the council that this is a medical board. It just so happens that the patients were injured at work rather than on the tennis court. And so we have to keep that in mind. And so at the 30,000-foot level, you ask, you know, what does this mean for the person in average citizen in the state? They can, if with a good compensation backup, they know that when they are at work, they've got good medical backup and good medical care. Both access and also if they have a long-term injury, some financial support as well. So that's to answer your question. What is the big picture from the medical perspective? It's good medical care, as it should be. I think there's several other dimensions that become important. Number one, the actual issue of the economics. I would completely agree with Mr. McNamara that some of the costs are high. The medical community does want to look at this. And we right up front have said, you know, some of the data that came through the commission, that's the governor's commission, and we'll probably get into that later. I think they did show that there was some data that showed that some of the charges, and again, there's charges versus reimbursement. That's another technical issue we can touch on later. We're high, and I completely agree that there are some, and we need to look at that. But I think in terms of going from problem to solution, The baseline from my personal perspective and the medical community perspective, we need to look at it not from a single dimensional perspective. In other words, just saying that cost is high, we're just going to curtail it, and that's that'll solve that problem. The workers' compensation arena is multifaceted. The fee schedule would not address many of the others, and I was glad to see that the Senate bill, which it was re-referred, that means it went back to the committee and then it'll be held. So they won't act on it during this session. It'll be held for next session.
Well, which doesn't surprise me, actually, given that they've got the budget in front of them.
Right.
And workers' comp has been so difficult.
But I think a different
question for you, Dr. Woods. Yeah. You know, just more broadly, you know, we looked at this as an economic development issue, and we heard from Pete and Bob about that. What about the other side of this issue, which is, you know, people who are injured, who want to get back to wholeness, who want to get back to work? I wonder what you think about how well New Hampshire's workers' compensation system addresses that end of the bargain.
I think they do very well, to be quite frank with you, on the whole. Okay, you're talking about how well is a patient cared for. When you come to the office, if you got injured on the tennis court or at work, you get the same treatment. Okay? The treatment is not any different. We don't check your card to see where you went. The people in the back office will, because they have to know who to send the bill to. But you're not treated any different. But if you came in and you were injured at work, then I have a lot of extra paperwork to do. In other words, I've got to fill out a form each time you come to the office. If it's a complicated situation, you might bring, say, a nurse advisor with you, and I have to discuss it with them, what you may do. Then later on, they send a note to in our particular office, we had three full-time employees dedicated to doing nothing other than workers' comp.
This is getting to the issue of why workers' comp health costs are so much more expensive than those health costs.
Right.
For example, if I hurt my hand playing basketball with my kids versus hurting my hand at work,
the cost for
the work injury would be a lot higher. You're saying it's because of all the
extra stuff,
extra paperwork involved. I can see our other two guests want to jump in too. That's not the whole story.
I'm not trying to shadow over it. I'm agreeing with Mr. McNamara that some of those upfront charges and to some degree what they were getting was actually higher than it should be. But I would like to offer that, in fact, workers' compensation premium, which an editorial that came out from one of Mr. McNamara's clients, I believe, said premium savings are what allow businesses like mine to reinvest in the economy. That's a direct quote. Premiums in New Hampshire have steadily declined, and they declined 6% this year. Workers' compensation costs have continued to decline as well across the nation.
All right, lots to dive into. I can see you guys want to jump in. We need to take a short break, and then we'll get back to you for sure. And you can join us as well, 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Coming up also, we'll hear from New Hampshire's Insurance Commissioner, Roger Savini, about this workers' compensation issue. Lots more to jump into in just a moment. This is The Exchange on NHPR. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, the high costs of workers' compensation here in New Hampshire and some ideas for reform. Let's hear from you. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange@nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. Again, 1-800-892-6477. Dr. Gary Woods is with us, along with Bob Sanders, reporter for the New Hampshire Business Review, who's been covering the workers' comp issue, and Pete McNamara, president of the New Hampshire Auto Dealers Association. He's been working a lot on this issue, too. And, Pete, I do want to go to you just before the break. Dr. Woods was saying he agrees with you that the workers' comp medical costs are perhaps too high compared to what it would cost if you injured yourself at home. What's your take on what those differences are all about? You know, $10,000 if you're injured, I think you said rotator cuff?
Rotator cuff.
On the job versus $2,000 if you, you know, tripped and fell and did it at home. Go ahead.
Well, I think what it is the law allows providers to get 100% of their payment. That's what government intervention has said for about the past 30 years. So they're probably doing what anybody would do, take advantage of what the law says, charge as high as possible, and get your payments as high as possible they can get. And that's why New Hampshire Department of Insurance said payments are 2 to 5 times higher for the same injuries. And it's not just one or two outliers, because if you look at the reports, to get 5 times on average, you have to have a lot of outliers there. And it's not just that medical costs are a small part of premium. It's 73% of any premium out there. So have premiums gone down? Yes, they have. And you know the reason why they went down is because there's less claims.
So premiums means the overall cost, the medical care,
right,
and the, you know, 60% of salary that I might
correct
get while I'm home recovering.
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
So and the reason that premiums have gone down is because the businesses have done a better job of lowering claims. And you know what else has happened? Medical costs have gone up the same time. Medical costs have gone up 140%, while claims themselves have gone down 40%. So, I mean, that's a huge difference between the two of them. So how much lower could premiums have gone is the real question. And studies show they could be 17% lower if we had a solution that 44 other states have already done, which is a fee schedule. It's not a complicated thing. And treatment, yes, treatment is the same. I'm glad Dr. Woods recognized that. So the question is paperwork. Can you have a 5 times more expensive difference just for paperwork? I don't think that's justifiable. And then in terms of actually sitting down with patients, well, that's what the medical codes allow for. Is if you need to spend extra time with patients, then you get to charge a different medical code. They go in 15-minute increments. It's set out by the AMA.
All right. Well, Bob, I want to ask you one question, and then we do have Commissioner Savini on the line. It's interesting what Pete says. Why does New Hampshire law say that insurers have to cover 100% of the cost that medical providers like doctors and so forth ask for? I mean, in most cases, you know, the doctor files the claim and the insurance company says, yeah, we'll cover half of that or 2/3 of it.
Yeah. In New Hampshire, it is pretty non-negotiable, and that's a big issue. And compromise tries to solve that without setting fee schedules. But the this goes back to 20 years ago, I think it's 20, when there was this grand bargain between labor and business over workers' comp premiums that were going up very high. And the reason back then was workers' comp, I should just make this clear for people who don't know, it's two portions. One's the medical, and the other cost is paying people who are so injured so badly that they can't work or can't work as much.
So you get a portion of your salary.
You get a check, basically, for not working. And this causes a lot of people getting upset. They say it's like kind of like welfare and so forth. For workers, the deal was that in New Hampshire, workers get less than almost any place else in the country. They get 60% of their salary. Most other places get 66 or 2/3. And the idea was, we're going to spend more money on medical costs, get these people back to work, and reduce workers' compensation premiums.
So that's the philosophy behind
right
it. Get people whole and up and running, and then you won't have to spend as much on that portion of the salary that goes to the worker.
And for a while, it did work. The prices went down. What we're seeing now is the medical costs going up. But when we talk about premiums go down, part of that is that New Hampshire is doing better in terms of people collecting, getting the check, as opposed to getting the medical care. And so if there's less checks being written, there's less cost, and that's one of the reasons that the premiums go down. And some doctors say, well, hey, that shows that everything's working great. And so what's the complaint? We spend more on medical care. We spend less writing checks. So that's kind of the other side of the story, which I'm sure we'll hear from the person on my right.
Well, joining us now on the phone is Roger Savini. He's commissioner of the New Hampshire Insurance Department and chair of the Governor's Workers' Compensation Commission that we mentioned earlier. And Commissioner Savini, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Laura. Happy to be here.
Well, before we get into all the work that you guys did on the commission, just broadly, Commissioner Savini, please, how fair do you think New Hampshire's workers' compensation system right now is for all parties involved, you know, from injured employees to business owners?
I think the system we have is a reasonably good system. Having said that, I also think it's a system we could improve on if we want to increase the quality of medical care, and at the same time, hopefully look seriously at better controlling medical costs.
Well, the medical cost comparison numbers are pretty startling, and we've tossed some of those around already. What do you think is behind these vast differences?
Well, first of all, you know, what I think I need to start with is the fact that New Hampshire is, in fact, a high-cost state when it comes to cost of medical care. That's number one. Number two, having said that, we really don't have any incentive in place to help control costs on the workers' compensation side. The law says that if there's a bill that's sent, it's got to be paid. And I think that we need to look more closely at how we could do things better for the injured worker, and yet at the same time look at how costs can be better controlled while providing good value and good quality care.
Why does the law say that the bill must be paid in full?
The law was changed a number of years ago, and I don't remember the negotiations that took place, but there were negotiations that took place with regard to the change in the law.
Yeah, and do you think that should be changed?
Do I think that law should
be changed that says that right now you got to pay whatever the doctor asks?
I think that if you're going to look at how to provide better quality care, yet at the same time control medical costs, you need to look at that feature of the law, yes.
So this is the idea, right, Commissioner Savini, of a fee schedule that would give the medical community a set level per procedure. This is the system that is in place in more than 40 states. What do you think? Should New Hampshire adopt a fee schedule?
I think New Hampshire should do something. Now, whether I would go and say exactly a fee schedule is what should be adopted, I think what we should do is take a look at look more closely at what should be adopted. Look at what some of the proven ways at establishing effective means of curtailing costs and especially curtailing excessive costs, yet at the same time providing better quality care even is what I think we should do. And if that translates to fee schedule, then yes.
So possibly a fee schedule.
Sure.
What's holding you back from saying let's do a fee schedule right now?
Well, we can do a fee schedule right now, but I would certainly want well-defined parameters regarding how that fee schedule is put together, what data it uses in order to establish the fees, so that all parties in the system are dealt with in a fair and equitable fashion, and more importantly, so that quality care continues to be provided.
So we don't have enough data yet, Commissioner Savini? Because it seems like there's a lot of numbers out there. I've certainly come across many, many charts and graphs and so forth.
We certainly could put a fee schedule together using the data that exists, whether it be data that's provided by the NCCI, the National Compensation Insurance, or whether it be data that's provided by Medicare and some sort of percentage of Medicare. If we want to refine it and contain it to specifically New Hampshire data, then maybe we should look at how we could possibly incorporate that into our comprehensive health information system.
And Commissioner Savini, one more question for you, please.
Sure.
Again, the commission on this issue that released its report at the end of last year that you headed, I was struck by how much disagreement there was on this commission, and the report shows it. You've got a majority report, a minority report. Okay, maybe that's not so unusual, but then all these different members, you know, had their own comments, and you included, you said, I agree with this part, I disagree with that part. Why was this so difficult for you folks to get together on this?
You know, I think that there are lots of reasons for this, not the least of which was the charge went beyond simply controlling medical costs. It was a pretty broad charge, and it allowed a lot of latitude for a lot of discussion on all sorts of things. We had lots of points of views. We debated the issue for a number of weeks. We tried to provide as much detail and information as we could regarding the current situation and tried to look at what potential solutions might be. Now, there were lots of individual viewpoints that were brought up, and it was difficult to get those points of view and reach consensus. Some were providers who had concern about how the fee schedule would be put together without didn't want to do anything without knowing the details. It's difficult to be in favor of something if you don't know what that something is that you're going to be in favor of. We had others who were looking for a quid pro quo, something, you know, if you're going to do this and control costs for business, then we want something more for the injured workers. We had the carriers who were there saying, no, you know, you must do this now, you must control costs now. So it was very difficult for us to really boil it all down, come to consensus, and reach a consensus on regarding exactly what should be done.
Okay. Well, Commissioner Savini, thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you.
That's Roger Savini, Commissioner of the New Hampshire Insurance Department and Chair of the Governor's Workers' Compensation Commission. And today in the exchange, that's what we're diving into, why it has been so difficult to reach consensus on this cost issue surrounding workers' comp. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. And gentlemen, Mark is calling in from Manchester. Hi, Mark. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Mark McKenzie. I'm the president of the AFL-CIO in New Hampshire, and Laura, good to talk to you again.
Thanks for calling in, Mark.
Sure. We spent, I was on the commission and along with the other labor rep, Dave Lane. We spent a fair amount of time going through a number of documents. First of all, I just want to say, I don't think, as Bob Sanders mentioned, the 600,000 injured workers in New Hampshire, I think that may, if I heard that, I'm not sure that's accurate. But most importantly, you watch what we have seen as a trend of decreasing indemnity costs in the state, which means that workers are getting back to work earlier, that they have a shorter period of time that they're out in. We need to assess why that is.
Indemnity means, Mark, and sorry to interrupt you, but I just want to make it crystal clear. Indemnity means the amount of the 60% of my salary that I get when I'm at home in bed recovering.
So it's a missing, it's the wages that you would get while you're home, your replacement wages. And what we've seen is those have continually gone down, as have the rates overall with workers' compensation. But the big issue, I think, for us in looking at this is how is the injured worker going to be treated in a system that has put parameters around it. There was a survey that came out of the New Hampshire Hospital Association, and they looked at the orthopedic doctors, and they said, if we put a fee schedule in place, what would that do to your practice? And I think there were 90 respondents. Over 70 of them said we would get out of the business of workers' compensation. And as somebody who sees orthopedic injuries all the time as a member of the Workers' Comp Appeals Board, that would be devastating for those workers who are looking for care in the system. Let me also say that we have never come to terms with how much longer care is going to take, how long it's going to get to take to get care, how much longer it's going to take to make decisions if, in fact, the system is clogged up with a fee schedule system, which is complicated in of itself. How long will it take workers to get through that whole process?
Yeah, and Mark, this is a point that I've heard about in other states. I want to ask everybody in studio about it. So thank you very much for calling in. And Dr. Woods, I think to you first, the concern I've heard that Mark is expressing, if we put a fee schedule in place, you know, setting these prices, you can only charge X for, you know, X injury, doctors won't treat workers' comp cases. Is that true?
Yes, I think that's sort of categorical. I think that would be an impact. A significant impact. If their fee schedule was such, like last year, 150% of Medicare, our office wouldn't be able to afford to do that.
It doesn't sound too bad, 150 of Medicare.
Yeah, but you got to understand that Medicare is basically a fee schedule where
it's pretty low already.
It's pretty low already, and then you're adding on all the other dimensions. I should point out and should be emphasized that in that overall process, doctors get what they charge. That's not quite true. There are some who do not participate. But the vast majority of providers of all spectrum, therapists, physicians, et cetera, are under contract. So that clause in the RSA, which I agree with Mr. McNamara again and with Commissioner Savini, that in fact we would like to see that clause eliminated as well. That says you get 100% of what you charge. And there are some people who are getting that, and I don't think that's fair.
Is the problem, Dr. Woods, that 150% of Medicare isn't enough, and 200% would be better, 250? Or is the problem that someone is telling you what you can charge and cannot charge?
That's
both. Is the problem the amount or the fee schedule?
Well, basically what you want to do is to leave it open to negotiation, and that's the way it works now. The vast majority, negotiate a contract, just like it does with group health. Anthem comes and says, gee, we got X number of patients. This is your charge. This is what your charge sheet is. But this is, we'll give you certain percent off kind of thing. Where workers' comp, we can't give the same rate because we have three full-time employees to take care of, plus my extra time. If it's too low, then the doctor says, I can fill my schedule pretty easy with group health, and I'm not going to take care of them. So there's an access issue.
Concern.
And then you get physicians who, like we did, we addressed with 1409 back in the early 90s, where there was people coming across the border called churners. And they were just seeing patients, you know, blah, 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 one right after the other, churning them out, going back across the border.
All right. Pete, to you real quick, Bob, and then lots of listeners who want to jump in.
Now, I appreciate Mark McKenzie bringing up concerns about access to doctors issue. And that's something that, you know, there's 8,500 businesses that are in a coalition. We're concerned about the workers' comp medical costs. But we want to make sure that access to doctors is not affected. So we looked at what other states have done. So remember, 44 states have already have laws on the book to resolve this problem. And in 44 states, you know, you would think that people would be dropping it left and right if access was truly a problem. Well, it turns out it's not. So California, Texas, Pennsylvania, all have done independent studies on access. And so just one example, Texas, the conclusion, and this is in the commission's report, high workers' comp physician retention rates. Workers' comp patients receive medical care quickly. So these laws that are on the books have not impacted access to doctors. And frankly, you know, from the auto dealer world, you know, if our tech gets injured, that's a lot of money that each dealership is going to be losing each day that they're off the job getting their rotator cuff repaired. So we want them back on the job quickly. But more importantly, the reason workers are less often off the job and indemnity or payments have gone down is because less claims. We've made better, safer workplaces.
Real quick, to you, Bob Sanders.
One of the reasons I'm following this issue is it's a business issue, but it's also a very hot political issue, as you can kind of sense. There's a bill on that I want to just go into briefly that explains this, but I'll do that later. But just one thing, when I talked to the guy who put this forward, this compromise, Jed Bradley, why things falling apart? He goes, this is a war. We've been trying to get agreement on this for 20 years and haven't been able to get any significant reform. This bill is called SB3 because it's behind the tax bills, the third most important bill for the Senate Republicans. It's a hot issue.
All right. And we're getting a sense of that definitely this morning. Lots of calls and emails after a short break. This is The Exchange on NHPR. This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're talking about the workers' compensation system in the Granite State and attempts to reform it, why those attempts have been so difficult. 1-800-892-6477. Email exchange at nhpr.org. Find us on Facebook or Twitter. With me in the studio, three guests who've been looking at this issue closely. Bob Sanders, reporter for the New Hampshire Business Review. Pete McNamara, president of the New Hampshire Auto Dealers Association. And Dr. Gary Woods, retired surgeon, past president of the New Hampshire Medical Society. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477. All of you, right back to our listeners. And Dick is in Manchester. Hi, Dick. Go ahead. You're on The Exchange.
Good morning.
Morning.
I own a small business here in New Hampshire, and you know every dollar we expense out, and like the outrageous cost for workman's comp, which really gotten out of control, means it's less money that I can spend expanding my business, hiring more employees, and growing ahead. And I think the New Hampshire doctors are literally benefiting at the expense of New Hampshire citizens, ultimately paying these high costs. I think it's abuse.
Well, Dick, thank you for calling in. And I also have an email from Chris from North Conway. He says, a small family-owned business owner for 35 years, we have to reinvest constantly in our people and our businesses. He says also, like you say, Dick, the gross overcharging on workers' comp claims takes money away from positive reinvestment into our businesses and makes it an expense. I guess I'll throw this to you, Dr. Woods. We're hearing from business people who feel like they can't do what they want to do, which is hire people, expand, help the economy grow, because they're burdened by these costs. And I just wonder what you think about that.
I agree that the costs are onerous in many dimensions. However, I would like to call your attention to, in fact, the premiums, that's the bottom line, We've heard that, you know, the example of the data that showed that was for a shoulder arthroscopy, that it was five to or so times higher than the national average. But there are 10,000 codes, and the ones that were presented by the NCCI, which is the data presenter at the commission, those are only four or five out of the 10,000, and those are what have been highlighted. The overall picture is that, in fact, as I pointed out earlier, premiums have continued to go down, and that's what they see. If you buy a car,
the overall cost.
The overall cost to the employer. That, again, I'm not saying that the five times for the arthroscopy is fair, and we need to look at that. Let me emphasize that. This year is the first year we've had a chance to really look at that in a meaningful way. But, I mean, just example for the auto dealers. They've returned – their rates have gone down in the last 15 years, are 15.9%. Also, they've returned $7.9 million in rebates to their members.
So things aren't so terrible.
So if things are going down, and again, I don't mean to gloss over that there are some problems, okay, and we want to address those. And you referred to Senate Bill 3. This is the first mechanism that we've had to deal with it in a meaningful way. The reason we've been sort of bucking it is because it's been, you know, 150% of Medicare or take it or leave it.
Sure, and you don't want that one size fits all.
But this is a different story.
Solution.
A different story this year, and I completely agree with Mr. McNamara that line in RSA 281-24 about paying the full boat needs to go.
Okay, super short, Pete, and back to our
super
listeners.
Super short. He mentions the Dr. Woods mentions Auto Dealers Association and claims. The reason that the premiums have gone down for us is that we've kept claims down. At the same time our claims have gone down, the medical costs keep skyrocketing. And it's no different nationally or in the state of New Hampshire, 138% increase in medical costs while claims go down 40%.
And the cost, it's, I mean, medical costs everywhere, as you know, Peter, going up. But you're talking about the cost differential.
Well, it's a cost in
because costs
in,
everywhere are going
well,
up.
Well, costs everywhere are going up. But then the reports, that all the codes that we talk about, over 100 codes in there, the top 50% of all claims in different categories, they're 2 to 5 times higher on average. So on average than the same injuries that are done at home.
All right, let's take another call. And thanks for that one, Dick. This is David in Gilmanton. Hi, David. Go ahead. You're on the exchange.
Good morning, Laura. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
There's two quick points I wanted to make about this bill. The first is that SB 3, as is written, is, in my opinion, a solution in search of a problem. How can I make such a statement? Well, if you go to the website for the New Hampshire Auto Dealers Association, which is very much a driver behind SB 3, there's a posting from this past December, just 4 months ago, entitled "Workers' Compensation Rates Remain Level," where it says, and I quote, "The 2015 rates are, on average, 15.9% less than the 1992 rates," end quote. 1992 was 23 years ago. Can you think of anything that you're buying today that's cheaper than it was 23 years ago, much less 16% cheaper? So by their own admission, this issue is not the crisis that the auto dealers would have you believe it is.
What's your interest in this, David? You're very well informed. Do you have a workers' compensation claim, or are you a business owner, or...?
No, I'm an emergency physician, but I also do some workers' comp care for allergy health care.
I see.
And SB 3, if it's passed, would create a fee schedule. Fee schedules are also known as price controls. And every time you do price controls, it has been shown time and time again to do one thing only, and that is create a shortage of what it is that you're trying to control.
And that was but Mark McKenzie called up and made that point. Here's my question for you, though. So Mark McKenzie, AFL-CIO, called up and made that concern that, you know, if you start putting price controls on docs, they'll say, you know, I can't afford to treat you. But then Pete McNamara raised the point, and I want to know what you think, David, that, in 44 other states they have these, and, you know, it seems to be working for them. What do you think?
Well, I think you have to look at the history of price controls. For those listeners who were alive and buying gasoline in the 1970s when the federal government imposed gasoline price controls, remember what happened to the availability of gasoline? You had to get up at 4 or 5 in the morning and wait in line for 2 hours in order to get a couple of gallons because they were sold out by 10 o'clock. So if we pass SB 3 and suddenly we have far fewer workers' comp doctors, guess where these patients are going to have to go for their care? to the emergency department where I practice, and we are much more expensive, certainly more than we were in 1992. So I have a word of caution for Mr. McNamara regarding SB 3, and that is be careful what you wish for. You may just get it.
Okay. David, thank you for calling in. Pete, go ahead and jump in, and then I have an email I want to share with all of you.
Well, David, I have to say that, you know, very surgically you extracted one line from thousands of pages on our website, and yet you repeatedly leave back, and as have other medical groups, left out the next couple of sentences that occur in other provisions where we talk about lower workers' comp costs. It's because of claims. And we also say that medical costs continuously go up. So you can't try and say that it's that our rates have stayed stable because of medical costs. No, the problem is medical costs keep skyrocketing. But we do a better job at our businesses, just like all the businesses have in the state, because in the state of New Hampshire, claims have gone down 40%. Costs, medical costs have gone up 140%. But let's talk about the 44 other states. Now, interestingly enough, access has not been impacted in 44 other states, as the studies show. There's no study, and I've even asked other people involved in the issue, show me a study where it says access of doctors has been impacted by fee schedules. And they've admitted to me, Pete, we don't have any studies that show that. Yet we have Pennsylvania, we have California, we have Texas study that show access is not impacted. And then it really comes down to this. The state needs to step in when there's abuse going on.
Because some people say, hey, business owners, why do you want price controls? You know, that's sort of anti-free market.
Well, let's talk about free market. What is workers' comp? Workers' comp is a government-mandated program. It's over 100 years old. It's a government coming in saying you have to have insurance for each one of your workers. You need to take care of them immediately without them getting involved in a lawsuit. You need to pay their bills immediately. You need to help them if they're out of work. So the state is already in there. The state's in there right now in New Hampshire because they say for business owners, you must pay 100% of all bills. And so the state really needs to act when there are abuses going on. And admittedly, some doctors have admitted that there is gouging going on. They've testified to that fact that there's gouging going on in the state. So the state and 44 other states, what they've done is they've reacted to the gouging that's going on, and they've created fee schedules. There's a solution in place, and New Hampshire needs to do the same.
Here's an email that came in from Sassy, and this addresses what you said, Pete, that the law says, you know, you need to take care of your workers, take care of them immediately when they're injured. Sassy, who emailed us, had another experience. She said, I understand the costs are an issue, but the way they treat workers to try to save money should also be looked at. Sassy says they refuse treatments to workers who have injuries, forcing them to go to court. Then the state has to pay the lawyer if the case is won. When you are in court as the injured worker, she says, you are treated like dirt by the opposing lawyer. They call you names, say things about you that are not true. They basically treat you horrible to wear you down so you give up the fight. Sassy says the injured workers are not treated fairly at all. I am on workers' comp, and they won't. Should I ever have to go to court and fight for every doctor's appointment I need? The lawyers get paid a lot of money to go to court and win for their clients, and they won't go to court for you unless your case is a winner. She says the cost of the doctor is also high. When they send you to the doctor for evaluation, those doctors charge over $500 a visit. So basically Sassy is saying, and I'll throw this to you, Dr. Wood, but want to hear from everybody. You know, you hear about this and it sounds like the worker is injured. She makes a claim. Immediately she's covered 100%. No problem. Sassy's saying she's had to fight for everything.
Well, it depends on the injury, and with every case, and that becomes an issue for physicians as well, because sometimes we never get paid because a worker says it was done at work, and then it goes to a hearing, and they say, no, it wasn't, and then they have no private insurance, and as a consequence, the physician goes unpaid. So it's a complex issue that I think she's referring to. If, in fact, it is accepted by whatever carrier said, yes, we accept this as a workers' comp claim, then there's very few things that aren't covered. There may be some second opinions as to what dimension in those other services will be provided. And I think that is a definite issue in some states where they've tried to cut benefits to patients. Not they accept the claim and then say, well, that requires like one example was a person wanted a myoelectric-controlled hand so he could do his lathe work. And they said, no, all you need is just a hook that just opens and closed. Technically, that is a prosthesis, but doesn't allow him to do his previous job. Saves the workers' comp company money, but it doesn't replace what he was doing. So I think that's the dimensions of lack of benefit. And if, I think that's a legitimate area to look for. That's why I think this is multidimensional.
If the costs weren't so expensive, the medical costs, would employers have less incentive to fight a workers' comp claim? But right now they just see these as it's astronomical and, you know, I think I'm going to choose to fight this.
It's hard to say because the ones that really need to be heard and are not are very special, and they're 1 out of 1,000, we'll say. So it's hard to sort of generalize in that regard. You'd like to say yes. But I can't say that that's actually true.
Sure. Bob, we've talked a lot about the 44 other states that have these fee schedules. Some call them price fixing. What's been the experience of those states in terms of, you know, what's happened, access, or what are some of the fears and concerns around that?
I can talk more about fears and concerns. I haven't done a national story
sure.
on this. And I'm sure both sides will tell you about the Pete, I think you wanted to answer that. On the experience of other states, but I do want to point out that there was Dr. Wood said was indicative of some of the concerns of doctors that their argument or is sometimes that a doctor's case isn't just seeing a patient. They may have to testify in a hearing about whether this person can go back to work or not, or what's the best way to go back to work. So it becomes a little bit more than a regular case, which is one of the reasons that even the original proposal of 150% of Medicare recognizes that a workers' comp case is more expensive. It takes more of a doctor's time. It's a little bit more technical.
So it's not just paperwork. It's showing up in court.
Some labor people say that doctors are more than doctors. They're kind of advocates for their patients when in a workers' comp case. So that might be the difference.
Okay.
Or some of the difference.
Sassy, thanks for the email. Here's an email from Nancy. This is Nancy Kyle, president and CEO of the New Hampshire Retail Association. She says, why do we need to reform workers' comp costs? We have to take action because business owners are paying an unfair share of these medical costs, even though workplace safety has dramatically improved over the last few years. Nancy says, in the past 16 years, injuries have gone down 41%. But medical costs have increased 138%. So, yes, claims have gone down because of improved workplace safety and less injuries. This is the point you keep making, Pete McNamara. Workplaces are safer, so the number of claims have gone down, but the medical costs are still going up.
You asked a question earlier, Laura, about do fee schedules work in other states? And so there's company NCCI, there's company WCRI. Here's quotes from their reports. States with no fee schedules had higher hospital outpatient payments. Another one, higher prices were paid in states without fee schedules. States without fee schedules had higher professional prices and faster price growth. And it shows in state after state when you institute a fee schedule, it does bring down medical costs, all without the impact of affecting access, as the studies from California, Texas, and Pennsylvania show.
What about this idea, and I hate to be fixated on this, 150% of Medicare, but that's been the proposal that's been out there. Is that enough, Pete, to compensate doctors who have to fill out all the extra paperwork and may have to go to court to represent a worker? That's a lot of time.
Well, yeah, it's a great question. And the states, again, that study those where above 150% access is going to be fine. And you have to think about, let's take a look at all doctors. So let's take a look at radiologists. How much extra paperwork is there to look at an MRI or an X-ray? I wouldn't think that much, yet they charge 108% more on average to look at an X-ray of a bad shoulder versus if that shoulder injury happened at home. So I think it varies across the board. Orthopedic surgeons, maybe they spend more time with patients. But again, AMA codes allows for them, if they need to spend another half hour with them, then you could charge for that additional half hour. But the range in surgeries, the 2 to 5 times on average more expensive, $10,000 versus $2,000 for a rotator cuff, I don't think that's called for.
Well, and gentlemen, we have to wrap it up. We have so much more that we could talk about. But Dr. Woods, real quickly, hopeful at all that we'll come to some resolution on this next year? Sounds like the current bill is stuck, so we're not going to get to it this year.
I'd like to emphasize that, you know, what's been presented to us in the past, we're not being recalcitrant, that we're trying to do something that's constructive. And I think this bill looks at many dimensions, gets actually all players involved in the process. Actually, the Senate bill actually provides some new data and also provides some oversight for feedback. That's multidimensional, and I think that's really important. And I completely agree with Mr. McNamara. We do need to look at the issue.
What do you think, Bob? Predictions?
I think that bill may come back in some kind of amendment. I think they're still working on it. I don't think this issue is over even this year. It's a very important issue.
Oh, it might come back, you're saying?
My prediction is somehow it will get back.
All right. We won't hold you to that. But thank you very much, all of you, for coming in. Real interesting stuff. We really appreciate it. Thank you for being here. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The senior producer is Ellen Grimm. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producers are Faith Meixel and Jason Moon. Our intern is Dylan Morrill. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord, and I'm Laura Kanoy.